This is retired Fire Chief Tom DeSourcy, and you're listening to Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. A topic I've always wanted to touch on is that of procurement. In essence, the acquisition of goods and services for your fire department. Let's be honest, this is something that is a part of the management role of any fire chief. It's the purchase of supplies and equipment that is necessary for the operation of your department. Supplies and equipment, of course, can range from small and everyday items to large capital purchases. Let's be honest, spending money in local government is not easy. There are budgets to consider, standards and regulations, along with purchase policies that need to be adhered to. Smaller departments don't do this as often, and larger departments, well, it could be almost an everyday occurrence. We've dealt with challenges in the past, namely supply chain and currency exchange issues, just to name a few, but now we add on to this the addition of international tariffs. Joining us today are three individuals that represent vendors in our industry, and it's a pleasure. Welcome to Marcel Sions from Double Eagle Associates. Welcome, Marcel.
Thank you very much.
Mark Biernet, your marketing company deals in fire apparatus components, firefighting foams, nozzles, to just name a few. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks so much, Tom. I appreciate it.
Rick Suchet, been the CEO of Fort Garry Fire Trucks for over 45 years, and welcome from Winnipeg. Rick, nice to have you as well.
Thank you.
Marcel, I'll start with you. I could give the bio information, but I always like to let you introduce yourself and tell me about your history being a vendor in our business.
So I go back a little ways. I used to work for a large American company that sold into the fire services. And then I retired from them and bought into a smaller agency. My background is I've been doing this for more or less about 30 years. And for different aspects, I've been on a working with distributors as well as working with manufacturers. I took over from Double Eagle about 3 years ago. We had three solid American suppliers that we worked with, and now we have 10 suppliers that we work with: United States, Europe, and Canada. So they've got varying different degrees of interests and different commodities. None two are the same, but that's kind of my background.
And to you, Mark, your history, you've been doing this for a few years yourself.
Yeah, since 1993, I guess, is when I first started to be employed by an agency here in Canada. And I started my own in 98. I just fell in love with the fire service. And today I represent about eight different manufacturers of, like you touched on earlier there, Tom, fire apparatus components.
And for you, Rick, being the CEO of Fort Garry Fire Trucks, again, for the last, 46 years? Tell us your story.
46 years. It'll be 46 years, I think, in August this year for me. Seen a lot of changes.
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, you've seen a lot of changes. You've seen a lot of adversity in the marketplace. I mean, you go back to, most recently, COVID, 9/11. You know, you just start rattling off the shopping list. Where does this, the tariff issue, where does that rank in all the hierarchy for you?
Well, the number one thing is the uncertainty of from one day to the next. We don't know. They put the aluminum and steel tariffs on at the beginning of March. And this year, our pricing was normal for the first time. We were seeing price increases of, 3 to 5% kind of pre-COVID normal price increases in January, February. All of a sudden, now all our suppliers are saying, that price list is no longer any good because our products made of aluminum and steel. So we're seeing anywhere from 10 to 22% additional price increases on top of the already 3 to 5% increases. So we're right back to COVID type pricing right now. That's before the tariffs that started 3 weeks ago. And the last 3 weeks, we've had $39,000 worth of tariffs on our manufacturing parts. Some are tariffs, some aren't. We don't know why. We have to go back and apply for remission. And then yesterday, Champlain said that all manufacturing parts would be given a 6 month reprieve on Canadian counter tariffs. So that's the latest. Yesterday, we have no idea whether that includes fire truck parts. Does not include fire truck parts. It should, but going the other way, we shipped two trucks last week down into New York, and they seem to go tariff free as far as we know. But we're still in the dark. It's just a day-to-day revolving mess.
I just looked up the tanks. I gave Rick a call just before our conversation here, and one of the items that he brought up was the tanks that he uses to manufacture his trucks with. And I did see that there are some tanks that are tariffed, but I didn't see specifically, you know, one that might apply to, you know, the type of design that is used for a fire truck. Specifically, you know, if it's made of plastic and, you know, the size and the rest of it, it seemed to be targeting different tanks that were more made of steel and aluminum more than plastic. So I think it's really important to, you know, use the correct code or an accurate code to represent your product when it's coming into Canada.
Where does this rank for you, Mark, in terms of the adversity over the years that you've been involved in the business? Is this the worst case scenario now, or is this just another bump in the road?
Well, I honestly think it's a bump in the road. I was surprised to hear that Rick was paying any kind of tariff on any of the items, since, you know, the companies I represent supply a lot of the items, you know, the lighting, the valving, you know, from Elkhart, and the deck guns. I just had electronics that I brought in personally. When I say personally, not under my personal name, but I actually did not use a broker because I wanted to experience what it would be like at the border. And so I had it shipped to Champlain, New York. I drove down and I picked it up and I brought it over. And the experience was fine. There was no tariff on it. I did need to pay, you know, taxes, but, and I, you know, got away without having to pay a brokerage fee because I basically did that work myself. When I went through the list of items that I represent, like Bostrom seats, yes, there is tariffs on seating, but not necessarily seating that falls into a fire truck category. You know, it seemed to be more, you know, kind of office furniture, things that you would use in a boardroom is where I saw tariffs being applied when I was going through. And there are thousands of categories for these items. So I think it really makes, you know, a difference on who you have as, you know, your broker and how easy it is for them to identify what items you are importing and apply the right category to it to try to ensure it is an accurate declaration of what you are importing.
You all sat through a meeting with CAFC recently and talked about tariffs and a lot more vendors in the industry represented. Maybe Marcel, you could start and tell us what came out of that meeting. What did you take away from it yourself?
So invited to sit in. I guess there was 33 distributors, suppliers. Just listening through it, most of them seem to be tagging the HS code for the import. And then isolating at the end, the response was, give us the HS codes that you think you're going to be using for the commodities that go to the fire first responders. And that was the whole focus. I mean, the CAFC, the Canadian Association of Fire Chiefs, suggested they represent 3,200 fire departments. They're talking about the procurement of different things. So it was nice to be included. I was kind of wondering, you know, there was only 33 of us on the call, but, and in the end, after I supplied, I think I supplied about 100 HS codes for fire hose, for loose equipment, for racking. Those were registered, and but if they do get tariffed, I guess there's a process to get the tariff money back, and then that creates a lot of confusion. I can tell you since that time, I get calls from distributors here in Canada, and they're going through the HS codes. They don't know if it's the March the 4th counter tariff numbers or if it's March the 13th numbers. We're putting the codes in. Some are, Most are not. So what I see a lot, though, is people are confused, even at the distribution level, and they don't know whether to hold money back or put a little higher price on it. Another thing that came out of it, kind of a spinoff, was the general flavor of Canadian purchasing is Canada first, which is great. I mean, that's right across the board. I'm a Canadian. I'm on board with some of that stuff as well. But some of the products that we have were hammered in place because it was the best product for that situation, not just because it was American or whatever it was. And now I hear mayor and council of some cities saying we're only going to buy Canadian. But there's NFPA standards, there's other standards, there's the longevity of a product that's been in line for a while, works with other products, it's all compatible. It gets a lot messed up.
What did you take away, Rick, from that gathering of all the vendors?
Well, basically, there's just so much confusion. We were already paying tariffs. Now we have to file for remission, and we have to prove that we can't buy that product in Canada. So our plastic tanks, well, there's some plastic tanks made in Canada. The big fancy tanks with all the nachos are not made in Canada. So it's just going to be a huge job for somebody to go through each one of those tariff codes and say, this is why we have to buy it. NFPA standards, ULC standards, that type of thing. It's not an easy job. It's not a one-liner. It's going to be a huge, massive job. And do you even want to start it? And when you find out yesterday that there's a 6-month relief for Canadian manufacturers. So the uncertainty and the cost of the uncertainty, they've got $39,000 from me for last month. I'm sure they're going to just give that back in 15 days. It'll probably take 2 years to get back.
Yeah.
And there's probably a good chance that the American Canadian parity won't be the same. So where's that money gone? It's disappeared, a couple grand here, a couple of grand there.
Good point there, Marcel. And I think we all are on, a page where we want to support Canada, the country that we're all living in and enjoying. But, there comes a reality of if, we said, well, every city is going to buy only products from Canada. We just don't have the supply, I don't believe, in Canada to be able to meet the demand of all the Canadian fire departments for, you name the product, even, fire apparatus. Rick, if all of a sudden, you had orders from every single fire department in Canada, I mean, how long would a fire department be waiting before you could fill all those orders?
To that point, I think the Canadian Association of Fire Chiefs had already targeted the lack of keeping pace with prior to this, and now pushing back on Canadian only is going to put a bigger delay in some of the things that have a timeout, and that those dates are going to have to get pushed. And now you're making the fire services not as compliant and even less compliant for the future as they're going forward. Sorry, Rick, to cut you off.
Yeah, we go from a 20-month backlog to probably a 6-year backlog if we get sold every truck in Canada. We're trying to grow every year, finding employees that want to work in a manufacturing plant is very, very difficult. Last year, we brought 14 Ukrainians over. They're good workers, but they don't speak English. We're running English classes every Tuesday and Thursday. We just finished our second session. That's something I never thought I would be doing as a fire truck manufacturer.
To the Canadian Fire Service, to the people, the fire chiefs and the firefighters that are listening to the program today, what do they need to know across Canada? What can they expect moving forward with all of this? Mark, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to say probably delays and higher prices is my gut feel, which is, unfortunate. But I think having, cities, mandate Canadian is, I think a very noble thing to do, and I understand where that spirit is coming from. But I think, we're making the best choices we can with the resources available. And there are a lot of, you know, things that we want to be considering, you know, to Marcel's point, you know, earlier about, you know, compliance and the expiry date that you have on gear and equipment and apparatus. You want to, you know, make sure that everyone's safe, you know, all the time. And are we going to now start delaying purchases or, you know, paying a, you know, dollars that might be more for, you know, something because it's not coming through a, you know, traditional market economy. We're kind of making it a different economy when we place, you know, artificial restraints on things. So it's, you know, I'm going to just say, hey, please, you know, be patient, you know, with whoever your suppliers are of whatever it is that they may be providing you with. And, you know, I think we have a really good team of people in Canada that are committed to the fire service to deliver what, you know, they need in a timely fashion. And I think everyone's really, you know, working hard to make it as easy and as affordable and as compliant, obviously, with safety being, you know, driving force, I think, behind everybody's raison d'etre.
Exactly. Rick, what about you? What's your message to the Canadian Fire Service in all this?
Expect price increases. Again, we're getting price increases of 15 to 20% just due to the aluminum and steel. If those temporary imports duty that they announced yesterday are taken off in 6 months, more price increases. We're getting surcharges on our commercial chassis, $3,500 US, which equates to, you know, approximately $5,500. We're going to have to pass those on. We can't eat that with the price increases. And how long are those tariffs going to last? Last time they lasted a year. It gives the big guys excuses to raise their prices again. And we can't do anything but pass it on. So higher prices. Hopefully it's not going to affect delivery. But you never know what's going to happen. Every day it changes.
Marcel, to you and your message, what would you say to the fire service in Canada?
Similar message, just a little patience on things. Costs are going to go up. I had a chance last week being in the States. I was at the Fire Department Instructors Conference, FDIC. So that I use that every year to meet with, in this particular case, six of the American companies that I work with. And most of them, if not all, were saying the price will go up. We just are going to slow that increase down a little bit, not snap it on quite so quick. There's a natural process in their price increase in June, just how much the price goes up. And then the other thing that happens too is that it's not like it's a steady increase or a guaranteed increase. There's some waffling back and forth as it makes the news. And that speculation and that sort of stuff, it's just there are no really easy answers. And I know Rick and Mark, you guys probably are pulling your, well, you can't, Mark, you can't pull your arrow, but because 6 months from now, when you actually see the invoice, that charge wasn't there when you first put in the quote, you know, and so, or a year in some cases for apparatus, right?
We're talking about 27 pricing right now. Right. And we've guessed at what it was, and we obviously guessed wrong. We didn't guess high enough. So
I, you know, to your point, I have a dealer who placed an order for nozzles before this tariff, you know, really became a thing, and then put pause before it got shipped because he wanted to, one, either make sure that there were no tariffs on it, and not knowing, went to the city and said, well, would you accept, you know, I got a PO for this amount. This amount plus 25% is what I'm going to be invoicing you. And if the city refuses, and now the dealer has that equipment in country, and they're going to have to ship it back, there's a possibility that they'll pay a 25% restocking fee and never see the 25% tariff that they paid to the Canadian government. If there's no way and really a you know, way of trying to file to get that money back. So there's a lot at play, and that's why a dealer, you know, will hesitate. So if you guys are waiting longer for equipment, it's not because people are just, you know, dragging their feet and not being you know, efficient at whatever dealer you might be dealing with.
So the other thing, I came across something that I've never seen before, and that was so I have a company that buys or that makes fire hose. So when they weave it or they put it on the loom, it's the HS codes are in line with fabric. And so it is double jacketed, it's fabric on the outside, it's painted. There's a real process to it. There's a real beauty to the actual product. So HS codes were good, coming through, no counter tariffs on it, you know, the retaliatory tariffs. And then all of a sudden, the couplings are aluminum. They're lathed out of aluminum. All of a sudden, there's a $25 charge that came out of the blue because of the couplings. And that was tacked on at the time of delivery, regardless of when the couplings were made and how long they sat in the factory. It was on delivery.
There's more, much more to be said. And Mark, I'll leave the final word with you.
I'll give this a really neat story, I think, that everyone can relate to here. So I wanted to see, I bought three things down at Walmart just over the border. I bought windshield wipers, butter from Wisconsin, and butter from Ireland. So it's all at Walmart. It's all on the same receipt. When I went through the border, this is personal. So I was just curious to see how the tariff would work for me bringing these personal items back, because I knew butter and I knew car parts were in the categories to be tariffed. And so when I went in to meet with the duty officer, they were putting 25% on the whole bill from Walmart. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you don't see that stuff. Are you sure it applies? And they said, well, it's a butter and car parts. And I said, yeah, but you know, one butter is from Ireland. And I said, the car parts, I said, actually, I don't know where they're from. They said, go get the items. I brought them in and they did not apply 25% to the Irish butter, and the windshield wipers were made in Serbia, and they said, okay, no 25. So it was only the Wisconsin butter that got 25%. But because on the Walmart, you know, printout at the cash, it doesn't say, you know, country of origin, unless you bring it to the attention of the folks at customs, they'll just kind of lump it all into one category. So I think if there's anything to learn from it is if we're vigilant, and they were very helpful. It wasn't like they were trying to take more tariff than required, and they were very clear about the way it worked. And so it just takes, though, a lot of time and effort. And now doing that for, you know, Rick's fire trucks and all the parts that are being imported, it's really a monumental task to try and ensure that the right, correct HS code is being used.
Well, I again appreciate your time today. Thank you very much, gentlemen, all of you, for lending a little insight. And obviously, it's going to be a challenge not only for you, but for all of us in the fire service. So thanks again for your service to us, and I appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Tom. Good to see you, Marcel.
Thank you, Tom.
This has been Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. Visit firefightinginCanada.com for more episodes.